Welcome back. I hope you are having a wonderful Thursday. I know we're going to have a tremendous discussion. It will probably be something that may fire you up in either a good or rowdy way today, because we're going to chat about God, of course, but we're also going to chat a little bit about some of the background and history and thought processes that may come from somebody who is actually out in the field. You know, one of the biggest issues right now with the president and Congress, besides all the budget and this fiscal cliff stuff, is, of course, the tragedies with the gun issues that we've seen. And even this morning, wow, turn on the news like 30 seconds before I come into the studio, just because I wanted to just get a quick update and, you know, see what's going on. And they were talking about all this negative stuff with video games and all the tremendous violence. It's kind of up the ante from when I was going to high school and we had Pac-Man and Mario Brothers. I mean, those were cool. And nowadays, you know, the effects that it may have and so on. So we want to talk a little bit about that, also about the God's perspective, and someone who's been in the law enforcement business for quite some time now and has had the opportunity to see both sides of things, our very special guest today. He is a police officer. He spent a lot of time on the force working in the county jails, among other intense assignments. He's also involved with our friends at the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis. You know, our good friend John Lynn hangs out there. Well, this wonderful man has been involved for a while as well. He's also seen the destruction and the love that comes from the destruction. Live from Winnebago, Illinois, Larry Ramberg. Thank you so much, Larry, for taking time to join us today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited about this, too, and I'm ready to rip.
Well, I like that. I'm ready to rip. It sounds like we're down at the Huntington Beach Paraband. Let's get on the boards and let's get ready to rip one today, you know, on a big surf in a wonderful wave. And Larry, there's been a wave of a whole lot of crazy stuff happening, and I was just talking to you about some of the stuff that when you know, you're trying to do God's work and what you think he's put in your heart and the passion that he's given you, sometimes, and more often than not lately for me, and I don't know how for you, the enemy just kind of jumps up and says, I'm sorry, but you're not going to do what God wants you to do. Have you seen that come in your life at all?
Oh, yes, all the time. Whether it's at work, whether it's in just life in general, when there's things that I plan to do, and it, just about anything, and whether it's just a distraction, a game, a show, or it's a physical ailment, there's a constant battle going on for your mind and for your decisions.
Wow, I like that. There's a constant battle going on for your brains and decisions. And yeah, I mean, last week I had the opportunity to be blessed to be asked to speak to a group of Christian businessmen in San Diego, California. And I tell you, Larry, from the time I got up that morning until the time I physically made the trip down there, everything under the sun got thrown at me as far as roadblocks between traffic and you just name it. And it was amazing. And I just shared with you that the 700 Club is actually going to come down to the studio later on and do my testimony today. And wouldn't you know it, it's been planned for months now and before Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, the boss at work says, oh, we're having a mandatory training on Thursday morning. You need to be here bright and early. No excuses. And I said, oh, my gosh, boss, you remember I've planned this thing for 2 months now, basically, and I can't be here. And everybody at work's like, dude, what are you going to do? And I'm like, if I put anything before God, because I've done that before in my past, it works out even worse than it could if I didn't. Have you seen that to be the case in your life?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. On days when I just don't, I can't use any excuses, don't bother to get my head straight, my heart straight with the Lord and with God, all kinds of heck breaks loose at work, around me, suddenly break on cars, and it get to a place where you got to make that, and it's not a hard decision, but it is, because we have that old man nature that always wants to do the opposite of what's right. And I've seen days on my job where suddenly, for example, we had just traffic crash after traffic crash coming in over the radio. Crashes with injuries, crashes without injuries, just one after another. And it caused me to sit to stop everything and pray and say, God, enough. No more crashes. This has to stop. And that's the end of them. I got a little bit unique perspective, because they're coming right at me on the radio, and it's very obvious that there's a problem, and I need to get myself in gear with God. And it's been tremendous when I do grasp that quickly and get a handle on it to see the hand of God work.
Wow, I like that. Grabbing it quickly and seeing the hand of God work. Man, it's pretty insane. So Larry Ramberg is our very special guest today. Larry is in Winnebago, Illinois. You're the first guest that we've been honored to have from Winnebago. And Larry has been a longtime police officer. He's a member of the Living Truth Fellowship, along with our good friends Paul Knopf and John Lynn, of course. John will be on next week on Wednesday, I believe. John is going to be our guest. But always great shows with you guys, because you have such a wonderful perspective, and the perspective really is the truth of the Word of God, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the things at the Living Truth Fellowship that have been such a blessing is the class, the End Times class, which really sets perspective on who the Word is written to, in what place, and makes it much... It opens up so beautifully to you. I'm really looking forward to the one day with the Creator class. I've heard parts of it, and I need things like that to set my ducks in a row in my head so that I'm prepared every day for whatever the world has to throw at me.
Yeah, and there's plenty being thrown at all of us, right? Get to some of that in a little bit. TLTF.org. That is Thomas Larry Thomas Frank. .org. Go online, and as Larry was just mentioning, the End Times video, obviously we're still here after December 21st, because people do not know when the world will end, because God tells us that in His Word. And why people keep trying to predict the end of time is just absolutely amazing. And you know, it's amazing, Larry, people make more money contradicting the Word of God, and others of us run around trying to make a dime, trying to put food on the table, working for God. It's kind of weird sometimes, is it not?
Oh, yes. And it's the world is run by a really bad manager now, Satan. He's the god of these at times in this age, and he is going to thwart us at every angle, but we win. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He lives in our hearts, and if we will just focus on that and focus on the truth of the Word, we'll be walked through anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of storms happening, I know, personally, and many lives for people around, especially America now, and we try to focus on America, and we know we've got nearly 100 countries to chime in, so wherever you are, just replace America with your country's name, because I have to imagine that you're dealing with many of the same issues around the world right now. Larry Ramberg is our very special guest today, police officer and member of the Living Truth Fellowship. And we've only got a couple minutes left here in the first segment. We're going to get into some of Larry's experiences, both on the law enforcement, some of his thoughts perhaps on, you know, guns and the controversy over, you know, whether they kill, whether people kill, you know, all of this kinds of stuff, and some of the things that he's seen out there for his many years on the police force out there, which, you know, you really get a firsthand look of God and some of the miracles that he performs while you're out there. You also get a chance to see what happens, unfortunately, in many cases, Larry, of course, what happens when people don't put God first in their life before making choices involved with society, correct or not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The results, the consequences are devastating in so many instances.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere, we've only got about a minute and a half left here in this segment, but I mean, I don't know, and I'm not the greatest reader in the world, and in going through the Bible, I don't know where God ever had said anything in there for people to grab things like guns or knives or whatever and intentionally go out and kill people, but a lot of people use that, do they not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in the Ten Commandments, which is being thrown out of every courthouse in the country, it says, thou shalt not kill. Well, that's a difference from defending yourself or defending your family. That's going out to premeditated take a life for whatever reason your mind is rationalized to the point where you're willing to do something that devastating and that dramatic.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that all the stuff that we're going through right now. And you know the weirdest part, and we'll talk more in a little bit, but the weirdest part is rather than running to God, and I did this myself. I ran to drugs and alcohol and gambling and whatever earlier in my life. Rather than running to God for the solution, we get so fearful that it just balls us up and infuriates us to whatever point, whatever we're dealing with in our life. And we make terrible choices. And you've seen them over the years with, you know, the violence and the gangs and stabbings and carjacking. It's amazing what happens when God is not at the forefront of your thought process, is it not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then I will have, from time to time, people start, you know, oh, Jesus, and I'm like, you should have probably turned to Jesus before you did this. Perhaps Jesus had an answer for you that you missed or someone is trying to give you, and then I do my best to make Jesus known to them so that hopefully in some kind of a future they make a different choice other than one that can devastate their family, their friends, everyone. There's huge ripple effects in these things.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a ripple effect of more God talk coming up right after these messages. Are you looking for a speaker for your next event? Are you looking to improve your productivity, create a more positive working environment, or inspire your congregation to be all that they can be? Then you need to schedule talk show host, author, and motivational speaker Rob Ekno today. Whether speaking to a group of 20 or 20,000, Rob Ekno delivers a very powerful, energetic, and entertaining message that encourages and motivates his audiences to truly become their very best. On church podiums, Rob's preaching blends a mix of scripture and his life's experiences for a God-filled message that resonates deep in the hearts of those listening, motivating them to live meaningful, God-inspired lives. So don't wait. Now's the time to schedule Rob Ekno to speak at your next event. Call TS Management at 818-506-3640. That's 818-506-3640. And get ready to be all that you can be.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Live from Los Angeles, you're listening to In Your Face with Rob Ekno on Indy 104.
Welcome back. Fired up today for a wonderful, intense discussion of both sides, from seeing a lot of Satan at work to seeing a lot of God at work. Larry Ramberg is our very special guest. He is a longtime police officer out in the great state of Illinois, not far from Rockford, about 6 miles or so from there. And Larry has finally been blessed after many years of being out there in the county jails and, you know, different patrols and intense situations, as obviously the officers go through, to finally being able to say, God, hey, you got a different plan for me? And he said, I'd like to sit behind the desk for a while, if that's possible, and rest my knees after all the years of up and down out of the squad cars. And God answered your prayer on that one, right, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled. I still deal with the same people, but they're actually coming into me, and they're a little friendlier than when you come out to their house because somebody called 911 coming in there, because it's always kind of that way. When they need something from you, they're right there and friendly, but boy, when you're there to answer a call, they don't like your presence at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know that none of you guys realize that you're God, but if you look at the similar situation, and you just mentioned this right before the break, is that so many people, whether it be the people that did the Enron thing years ago, or the Bernie Madoff type people, or the gangsters, or whoever it might be, you know, nobody puts God in their business plan or their daily activity plan that are going out and killing people, stabbing people, carjacking people, you know, molesting people, whatever it might be. Because if they did, you can imagine them looking at God going, okay, here's my plan for the day, Lord. I'm going to take these AK-47s. I'm going to put all this stuff on. I'm going to go into this bank and start shooting people. What do you think, Lord? You know, this kind of stuff would not happen if we put God at the forefront. But you hit it on the head. They go in there, they make insane choices, and I've made some over my years. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh, my God, you got to help me, Lord. You got to help me. And if we did things in reverse and said, Lord, can you help me make better decisions today? Because this is what I'm thinking. Our world could change pretty quickly, could it not?
Oh, absolutely. You got to figure when you go out and you get dressed and you decide to commit a crime and you decide to use a gun and you decide to pull the trigger, you can't take that back. And the consequences can be anything from being locked up for the rest of your life in a very small cement room. And many people do meet the Lord in there. But wouldn't it be much better to meet the Lord out in a free society where you can speak to anyone anytime about it? And furthermore, once you pull that trigger or stick that knife in, it's done. The destruction is done. You can't reverse it.
Wow, that is, you are absolutely correct. And yeah, once that person is no longer with us, or those people are no longer with us, or whatever it is, even if they're still with us, you've committed the act. And there is a price to pay. For all of that, unfortunately, it usually isn't a good one. And Larry Ramberg is our very special guest. Larry, how did you get started on the police force and then eventually end up in the Living Truth Fellowship?
Well, actually, it's I got in the police force before the Living Truth Fellowship, but I was in ministry for the police force with other organizations, and that's where I got to know John Lynn back at a college in Kansas where he was the CEO. It was a Christian college. And even before I went in that college, I was living in Los Angeles, and my plans were to go on to the Los Angeles Police Department. I chose to go to school, which I do not regret. It was excellent education in the Word of God and in just living life in general. I came out after graduation and went out to Arizona to hold forth the word and to run a an area of about 200 believers. I was kind of the head guy, which just meant I was supposed to be the leader and go first. I came back to Illinois in 88 and started looking at law enforcement again, which I hadn't looked at in a number of years, and the McHenry County Sheriff's Department built a new jail and hired a bunch of correctional officers, and that was my first taste of it, was working in that jail. I quickly moved from there over to Winnebago County, which is where Rockford, Illinois is, and Winnebago County's had the distinction of having the highest violent crime rate per capita in the state of Illinois for many, many years. And, of course, as a young officer, it's exciting. The adrenaline is exciting. It's exciting to get into the crimes. It's exciting to go after the crimes. I started out in the jail here for a year and then sought a place in patrol and prayed a lot about it because it's really what I wanted to do and wanted to be God's man in that position, and the doors opened that I was hired.
Wow, so you got in there, you got the opportunity. I mean, it's interesting. I've had a few police officers, sheriffs, SWAT team members on in the past and stuff, and it's amazing that each one of you guys that has shared has said, you know what, I wanted to get on the force so not only could I make a difference in the communities and help with the crime rates and so on, but to be able to share God with these people that are not making the best decisions in life. That's a pretty cool opportunity when somebody is really down and out. It's kind of like if you've ever seen Dog the Bounty Hunter, for all his stuff that he's been through, the one thing he does when he's taking people to the jail cell is he tries to instill God and positive thoughts in their heart. True?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do that the best I can. And many of these people, someplace in their life, somebody tried. And I mean, the world is a setup. It's set up by the god of this age, who is Satan. People are set up to fail. People are set up to go in certain ways, and that's why it's just so crucial that people who know the truth aren't selfish with it. You know, we say you have a right to remain silent, but we don't want you to remain silent if you know the truth of the word. We want you to trumpet it from the highest rooftops in every corner, because that's what's going to save people. That's what's going to open their eyes to the darkness they're living in. It's going to shed a light on the sin so they can step out of that lifestyle and make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the changes that's going on in our country right now with all the insanity that's been happening, so many situations with copycats. We've had the situation out in Colorado and most recently in Connecticut, and then there's been some out here in the Los Angeles area and various parts. It just continues on for some unknown reason, and it's of course they're having a major debate about it all in Congress and with the president and so on. It's all over the news, of course, is the gun issue. And the bottom line is whether guns kill and whether we really need to have people in possession of these major assault rifles rather than maybe a shotgun or a handgun that they can use to perhaps protect their home. Do you see, in all the years that you've been on the police force, Larry, except for the police department, the military, where they might be dealing with, you know, really, you know, tragic or really destructive situations where they need extra force and one shot is not going to do it. Do the average people here in America need to have assault style weapons, in your opinion, from what you've seen in your experience sitting in their homes?
Yes, and I'll give you an example why. Well, first of all, assault weapons, I don't think there's an actual category of weapons called assault weapons. I think that was a term made up some years ago when they were trying to ban them. They're military-style weapons. Some of them are semi-automatic. And just recently, here in our area, a lady had a door kicked in her house. She met the person with a Glock handgun and told him, "You better get out of here. You better run." He ran off. They did not locate him, but he ran off scared as could be. The gun didn't kill him. She held the gun. It deterred the problem without anybody getting hurt. You've heard the things where the kind of joke that says, "I carry a gun because a cop's too heavy." Well, I'm 6'3 and 285 pounds. I would be really difficult to carry to your door. Furthermore, when I get a 911 call, it could take anywhere from 1 to 20 minutes to get there, depending on where it is in the county, depending on how busy we are and what's going on.
So in your home, it's your feeling is that if you have them in your home to protect your home, and I guess you are describing something here because I'm not a gun expert myself in any way whatsoever, but the point being is that I guess they're in that classification, if I understand you correct, of assault weapons. There are different ones, and it's not just the long one that we particularly see or project when we see on the, you know, the TV screens or whatever, of the longer ones that just shoot off like, you know, 100 or 1,000 rounds within seconds then.
Yeah. Actually, if you think about it, any gun's an assault weapon. What's the purpose of it? Purpose of it is if you shoot a target, you're assaulting that target. If you shoot clay pigeons with your shotgun, you're assaulting those. That is a type of gun, and the fully automatic that shoot off hundreds of rounds are not legal anyway. It's a very expensive license to have one of those, and you're watched very carefully by the feds if you have something like that. The semi-automatic, where each time you pull the trigger, it continues to fire until your magazine is empty, is what they've called assault weapons. Well, true military weapons will have something called select fire, where you can either have the semi-auto, as I just described, or you can set it at a three-round burst where three bullets will go with every trigger pull, or fully automatic where it just continues firing until you let go of the trigger or the magazine is empty. And many people that I know that own these, they shoot for sport. They go out in fields, they go out to ranges, and they shoot for sport. They're not carrying them around their house waiting for somebody to come in.
Right, gotcha. Okay, well, let's hang on to that thought for a second, because I'm learning a lot here in the last couple of minutes. You may be, too, if you're not a gun expert and trying to understand what's going on and the magnitude and all that the Congress is fighting over right now. We'll be back right after these messages.
Like most parents, you probably see your child as the typical smart, well-adjusted kid.
Camouflage. C-A-M-R-U-F-L-A-G-E. Camouflage.
Well, your child might not be as well-adjusted as you think.
Issues. I-S-S-U-E-S. Issues.
And if you knew there was somebody in particular who could help your child?
Daddy. D-A-D-D-Y. Daddy.
Wouldn't you want them to help? Well, the truth is, Dad, you're that person. Just by being an involved dad and spending time with your child, you're taking an active role in your child's social and emotional well-being. You're also increasing their chances of succeeding academically and staying in school. So don't take for granted how normal and smart your child seems.
Balance. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Balance.
Because children need fathers who love and care for them just as much as they need mothers. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, 100 Black Men of America, and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free, helpful information.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
In today's market, either a business gets social or it gets left behind. Social media has given the customer a voice and has created the perfect opportunity for businesses to connect with their potential customers and clients and build lasting business relationships. Your potential customers are waiting for you. Contact Highway to Success today to discuss the best way to form relationships with them. Your competitors are already doing it. Contact Cynthia at 866-636-4696. Get social today by calling 866-636-4696. And keep listening to Indy 104 for information on the new Highway to Success show coming soon.
It's time to get back in your face with Rob Ekno on Indy 104.
Welcome back. It is a Thursday morning. So blessed to be with you from the City of Angels, doing a God show. Can you figure it out, right? And somebody who has truly been protected by the most thick and just impenetrable shield of armor that God could put over anybody is our very special guest today, Larry Ramberg. He has been on the police force for many, many years out there in county jails where we see the documentaries on TV. It's not a pretty and fun, exciting place, but one of those things that is about being a police officer in those types of positions, in tragic situations, is you get to chance, if you choose to, which Larry has and many of our guests have that have been involved with that, are always trying to plant the seed of Jesus. But one of the things that we're trying to do is plant the seed today before you make choices. If you're in that position, in a what you think is a desperate position, a position of no hope, there is hope, because Jesus loves you, and he loves you equally as much as any other person that he has created. You're the only person in all the billions of people, if you're going through stuff right now, that God created exactly like you. Nobody has your feelings, your DNA, your makeup, nothing. Others may sound like you, look like you, but he made you amazingly special. So please remember that. If you're in a situation and you're thinking, you know, today I'm going to do something crazy, please pretend. This is what I learned, Larry. It's worked for me pretty good here. If I do it, when I look and I say, okay, Jesus is standing right smack dab in front of me, and I'm looking in his eyes, because I know he's in me and all that good stuff, and I know he's with me, but I pretend I'm looking right in his eyes, and I say, this is what I'm going to do today, Lord. What do you think? And in many cases, I end up changing my mind, because a response from him that maybe says, you know what, not a bad idea, but here's a better idea. And you get a chance to put that in people's hearts. That's got to be an amazingly special calling that he's giving you.
Oh, absolutely. And there's definitely, it's not an opportunity where I have to go out and look for them. I get the police call and I have to go to their house and talk to them. And if you don't think your life has an impact, here's an idea. When I was in the crime scene unit, I had a Christian partner. He said he was Christian, and he said, "We need a good homicide for something to do." And I said, "Well, what if we prayed for no homicides, for something to do, instead of somebody coming to a violent end so you can be busy?" And I compared our stats throughout that time, and my shift consistently, by more than half, had the lowest number of violent crimes of all the shifts on the department.
Wow, that is amazing. TLTF.org is the website to find more on the Living Truth Fellowship, which Larry has been a part of for years now, having met our wonderful friend John Lennon. We'll be on next Wednesday, as a matter of fact, so be looking for that as well. And so Larry's had a chance to share and learn in what the truth is all about. And we're trying to learn a little bit more today, Larry, from your perspective, from being a police officer for all the years that you've been on the force and in a place that had, you know, like you said, per capita, pretty high crime rate. So you've seen a lot of the jails, talk to people, you know, had experiences one-on-one that many of us don't have the opportunity to do. And people are talking now. The big thing, of course, is that guns kill. And you were sharing to me during the break that you've pointed your gun on numerous occasions over the years you've been on the force at people, and never once have you ever had to fire it to accomplish the goal that you were trying to accomplish with whoever you were pointing it at. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct. I have pointed my gun hundreds of times. We've had it out going into robberies, burglaries, stolen vehicles, gang members with guns, etc. And never once did that gun go off by itself. Never once did I accidentally fire that gun. It's a tool. It's a tool like a hammer. It's a tool like a saw. It's for a specific purpose, obviously, but the majority of the time, such as I said with the lady who was met at the door by someone kicking her door in, she never had to fire. He fled for his life. And if you'll study it, crime rates, every place there's concealed carry laws passed, go down. They go down because a criminal wants an easy prey. They don't want to walk up to somebody who's armed and can hurt or stop them permanently. And as a police officer in 20 years, I personally can only remember two calls I was on where somebody accidentally shot, and both of them were people who accidentally shot a gun through their own hand, doing something they knew better than to do. Now, in that same period of time, I've had three people working on their vehicles and didn't have them properly braked or properly supported, and the vehicle actually got away and rolled over their own head. So I've had more people accidentally run themselves over than have accidentally shot someone in my personal experience, in the calls I've been on in the last 20 years.
Wow, that's, I know when you start looking at, and again, we're just talking of Larry's own personal experience. We have our own, but I'll tell you what, 20 years on the police force is a lot of time to spend, especially when you've got a gun on the side of you all day long, as long as you're on shift here, in your locker, wherever it might be, and so on. So the thing we're talking about today, we're trying to get, a look at, some of the tragedies that have happened and the responsibility that we have to take as humans. And of course, the Second Amendment says that we have the right to bear arms. There was a reason why the geniuses that started our country, which they were wonderfully intelligent human beings, they laid this thing out pretty good here. There's a reason why they knew that we do have, and do you, and as an officer, I'm guessing you do feel that me as an individual, if I had a gun in my home, would have the right to protect my home should somebody else kick in the door while I'm sleeping at 3 a.m. and say, "Hey, I'm here to take whatever or to harm you." I should have that right to protect myself. Would that not be correct?
Absolutely correct. And I also think that, such as with concealed carry, that every law-abiding citizen who's not a felon, who's not proven that they're going to be a repeat offender criminal, every law-abiding citizen should carry concealed. Now, does that mean that you have to whip that thing out and show it off at the bar and other places and every place you're at? Absolutely not. No more so than you would a chainsaw. but it is a tool, and a criminal is going to think long and hard if the possibility of you being armed and fighting back is there in front of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, let me ask you this question here, and this just popped in my head as I'm listening to you here. On that same note, and I'm not trying to corner you on anything here, I'm just trying to get a perspective on this because you have a lot of experience. You, as a police officer, show up at a crime scene, and there's 20 law-abiding citizens all standing there with guns. How would that make your job, though?
Well, first of all, a citizen is everybody that I know who has a concealed carry knows to let a police officer know immediately that they have concealed carry permit and that they are armed.
Okay.
I'm going to ask them, well, please don't reach for it or anything, and then we're just going to determine what's what. A criminal's not going to stand there. He's going to look for an opportunity to ditch the gun, to run away from you, or as a last-ditch effort, to pull it out and attempt to use it. A citizen who obeys the law and understands reality and common sense is, and I would be, I don't have a problem with that. They do, you know, let me know. You know, I'm a citizen, I have a concealed carry permit, and I am armed.
Well, very.
In fact, I carry off duty all the time, and anytime I have contact with police, I've been pulled over a time or two, I let them know I'm a cop and I got a gun on me, so here's my credentials. Let's be friends.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Very interesting perspective. And that's why we have this show, so that we can bring out perspectives, because I would think that you would think the opposite, but you're telling me in a different perspective, and you're out there. You've got the experience. I don't, and I know that a lot of our audience, obviously, are not police officers, law enforcement, you know, military. So that's why we are blessed to have you here, to get a little bit better understanding. The bottom line is this, is that guns were made for a specific purpose, but a gun sitting on your holster doing nothing, a gun sitting under your car seat, a gun sitting under your bed, a gun sitting in a safe, minding its own business, a gun by itself does not kill anybody, does it?
Absolutely not. It's a tool. A hammer laying on a shelf or hanging on a hook on a tool bench doesn't kill anybody or hurt anybody. You know, I mean, a brick sitting in a pile of bricks doesn't, but could somebody throw a brick at somebody and injure them or hurt them? Yes, it takes the actions of a person to cause a gun to fire. It cannot fire on its own. I've never seen one in all this time that can fire by itself. It requires action taken by a human being.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't know what's going on in this world, Larry, and you see a lot of it too, and you may have some insight and maybe not, but I think the bottom line comes to really simply, far too many people are not relying on God, and it's so many people are throwing God and they're not trusting, because I think one of the tough things is that God has his perfect plan. But we're humans, and we're not quite as patient in many instances as God is, correct or not?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? People are like, now, wait a minute. Give me it a minute ago. You look at these places where dozens of people or dozens of children are injured or murdered by somebody who never should have had a gun in the first place and perhaps should not have even had the, in some instances, the freedom to be walking around. They maybe need some institutionalization to get things straightened out in their life. But they walk into this place with an intention. God doesn't have the intention of killing people. God's intention is not to hurt people. He loves. He wants to heal. And does it have to be a gun in a school situation? Could there be a person there cooperating with God who could stop the obvious demonic force that's causing this person to do this? Well, why not? Absolutely. How many times do we see that in the Bible where God just lays it out and stops the action because somebody's willing to be cooperating with him at that time?
Absolutely. Larry, hang on to that thought for just a second. We're going to take our final break and come back with Larry right after these messages.
Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts, peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
Hi, I'm Rob Ekno. Can you honestly say that you're happy with the shape of America today? If you're as frustrated as I am, then please join me in helping to return our great country to its glory. I've written a book called God Bless America Before It's Too Late. When you get your copy, it'll have you thinking about what contributions you may have had in shaping our country today and to get us all to realize the differences and positive effects each of us can have on returning America to being all that it can be. So please go online now at robekno.com to order your copy of God Bless America Before It's Too Late and be a part of an even better tomorrow. That's robekno.com to order your copy now. Thanks for your support and have a super blessed day.
More In Your Face with Rob Ekno happens now on Indy 104.
Welcome back to our final segment here on this Thursday. Hopefully you are having a very blessed day. And you have to be. If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're having an amazingly blessed day. Even if things aren't going as prosperous or as peacefully as you would like them to, remember, the purpose of our show is to inspire, motivate, and challenge each of us, that includes myself, to become the best we can be for ourselves, our country, and most importantly, God. And when things aren't going as prosperous or peacefully or whatever it might be in your life, when you look in the mirror, the answer is usually staring you back in your face, as we're talking with our very special guest, Larry Ramberg, out in Winnebago, Illinois. Larry's been a member of the police force for over 20 years now and finally got himself a chance to sit down and help people when they come in. So still, obviously, you get a chance to be of service. But like you were saying, Larry, a lot nicer when they do come in asking you for help. And it's kind of like this with Jesus, I do believe. It's like, Jesus, stay out of my life. I got it under control. I'll handle this. You just, and that's kind of what we're doing in America now. And that's what they do with the police officers. As you know, you see it so many times on TV. It's like, you know, those guys, I just want to tell them to stay out of my neighborhood. Don't come by here. Then all of a sudden, tragedy strikes. And who's the first one they call? They're either getting on their knees, begging God for help, or they're on 911 going, Larry, get the cruiser over here now. We need you after we just told you what a schmuck you were for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah. And that reminded me of an incident many years ago where we had a suicidal lady, and we were called, and she had a gun. She was talking about shooting herself. Whole bunch of cops got there, whole bunch of to-do. We surrounded the house. Myself and another officer were right up by the window. We were within a foot of her. She was talking to us through the open window. We asked her to put her hands out. She wouldn't. When she finally put her hands out, she had a gun in one hand to her temple. And, of course, we're ready to shoot her at any time should she turn it on us. In the meantime, we're talking and all tense. And honestly, I wasn't thinking a lot about this at that moment. That's a pretty tense moment. There's guns out, people, a person talking about killing herself or someone else. And it was coming to a point where she was getting ready to make a decision. And as clear as a bell, I heard the word pray. And I went, oh, yeah. And I said, I basically barely got father out, and she threw the gun down, and we pulled her out and took her in for an evaluation and got the gun away from her, and nobody was injured and nobody was hurt.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, it's a tough situation, and we have this, unfortunately, an awful lot here in Southern California where people, they make a 911 call, somebody does, and they're saying, you know, somebody has a gun, somebody's doing this. And then as police officers, you guys race to get there, And then, you know, you try to talk to the person who people called 911 about and so on, and they're uncooperative, got hands in pockets or jackets or whatever, and then they'll pull something out of their pockets, and it may be a candy bar with a silver wrapping on it, but at 12 o'clock at night in the dark or 2 o'clock in the morning when you've just received this call, you have no idea. I'm guessing you have to assume that this person is going to try to harm you if you don't take care of yourself first. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. One of the things I learned in law enforcement is every day when you put your uniform on, you better look in the mirror and you better decide that today I may be forced to shoot somebody. It's the job. Today I may be shot. That's a decision every day you got to look at. And if you're not willing, then you should probably stay home that day. Another thing you got to understand, when a cop shoots somebody, that stays with them for the rest of their life.
Yes.
If it turns out to be a shooting of somebody who's just pulling a candy bar out in a very tense situation, you better believe that eats that guy up from the inside out for years.
Yeah, I know. People think that you guys are just out to get people, but the bottom line is you're sworn to serve and protect, and there are so many wonderful people like yourself that we have on this show that their whole goal is to do that. But also, you have wives and children and stuff at home, and even if you're single, it doesn't matter. You have the right to protect yourself as well. And my philosophy is this. If I don't put myself in a position to be shot and don't leave any doubt, then I probably won't get shot by somebody like yourself who's trying to just protect the community and also yourself. And I always wonder, it's like, what do these people think? Is the officer supposed to allow himself to be shot first? And if he's lucky enough to survive, then he can fire back? You know, when guns are being pointed at people, the perspective is you know, it's funny, Larry, as you know, people are always saying, well, my son would never do that. My daughter would never do that. And I say to people, look at the prisons of America. Every one of those parents said that that son or daughter would not do what they did. Correct or not?
Absolutely correct. The number of people who stand up and take responsibility and say, yes, my kid was wrong, do what you have to do, is tiny. The number of people who stand up and say, you're just harassing my kid's innocent, you're just a no-good cop, that number is growing unbelievably. It used to be, certain incidents you could handle very simply, and now because of liabilities, because of those attitudes, you have to make sure. I had an incident recently where some children were playing and pulled the TV over, and it hit the one kid in the head. Now, there was no indication whatsoever of abuse, but I was still required to call the Department of Children and Family Services just to make sure everything is looked at, everything legally is covered. It gets harder and harder to do this job because of the number of parents with that attitude and then the number of angles you're being scrutinized from.
Yeah, it's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, here in America especially, please, it's time we got to start taking responsibility for our actions. And, you know, we have no one to blame for our own actions and choices that we make than ourselves and no one else. And if we're putting ourselves in a position where it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we're asleep in a car on the side of the road for some unknown reason and we've got some shiny object in our hand and somebody knocks on our window from law enforcement and we lift it up when we're, whether it be a candy bar or not, it's our fault for putting ourselves in that position, whatever it might be. I had somebody that's close to the family, my wife said, some money's missing. And so we went over to this person's house, Larry, and said, hey, you know why we can't have your daughter come over the house anymore? Because we've had some money missing, and she's the only one that's been in the house. And things that have happened, and the mother looked at me and goes, oh, my daughter would never do that, you know? And it's like, we have to start getting real with the fact that we're human beings. We don't make perfect choices every day. And just stand up for what is right and say, listen, okay, I made a mistake. Because the funny thing is God already knows we made that mistake, right, Larry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And are you going to be You're going to be able to man up and say, boy, I was really wrong. God, I was wrong. This is what your word says. I agree with your word. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn again, and I'm going to turn to your word, and I'm going to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Larry Ramberg is our very special guest today. Our show is coming and going really quickly. The Living Truth Fellowship is where Larry is a part of, as well as the Winnebago Police Department for over 20 years now. TLTF. TLTF.org. Go on there and see all the great stuff that the Living Truth Fellowship puts out. It's all about what it says, the Word of God. And our very good friend John Lynn will be on next Wednesday as well, on the 23rd. I hope that's Wednesday. I'm not good with calendars here, but John will be joining us. And it's been a pleasure, Larry. And Larry, one last thought. We've got about 2 minutes left in the show. Your last thoughts here. We didn't have a lot of chance to get too in-depth in it, but a police officer out there in the field, you're seeing this big controversy. You know, do we ban certain things, not ban certain things? Just an overall kind of a quick view on the fact that guns do or do not kill, responsibilities for people, and where we should go in your personal opinion.
My personal opinion is guns do not kill people. The person using the gun does the killing. Just like they would if it was a hammer or a saw or a chainsaw or a brick or a knife. A gun is a tool. It's an inanimate object that cannot do anything of its own. It needs somebody to pick it up. It needs somebody to have a thought process going, and it needs somebody to operate the machine.
There you go. So as far as banning all of this stuff that they're trying to either ban or not ban, your thoughts?
High-capacity magazines, it's silly. It gives you extra bullets in your gun. If you are your husband is working nights, you're a young lady at home alone, the door crashes in, and you have 15 rounds in your magazine, that means you have 15 opportunities to stop the threat. If it's cut down to 6, well, then you learn to shoot better and be a better shot, but that, I think the fact that there's 6 or 13 rounds is meaningless. It's, I think, an emotional thing. I think it's a thing that certain part of our society just does not like guns and does not believe any of us should have them.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to have you back again because you've got a lot of experience, and I'm sure this controversy will be going on for a long time, and from a God perspective, it's great to hear you. Larry Ramberg, our very special guest. Don't forget, this show will be available on iTunes. You can go back, hear it over, rapid feeds, and on demand here at Indy104.com. Larry, thanks so much for being a part of our day, taking time out of your day, and you have an amazingly blessed day.
You too. Thanks so much.
TLTF.org is the place to go. TLTF.org. Check out all their amazing DVDs and CDs and learning tools. It'll help make your day that much better. My name is Rob Eckno. So blessed to be with you today. We're going to leave you with Pastor Stephen Young up in Penobscot Bay, Maine. His song, Pre-Approved for Healing. Have a God-blessed day.
If you're sick in body, I bring you good news. Jesus makes an offer, it's the kind you can't refuse. On a cross he suffered, for your sins made ill. Offering healing, mercy now. Approved for healing, go on and apply. Pre-approved for healing, you won't be denied. Pre-approved for healing, it's your blood-bought right. Pre-approved for healing by Jesus Christ. Seated in the heaven, for you now he prays. His great love and mercy are still the same today. He's moved with compassion when you suffer pain. like Jesus Christ. Blood-bought right, pre-approved for healing by Jesus.